Great to have you with me. The open line for Werribee Kia. Take your calls very shortly. 1-300-736-736. Business continues at Werribee Kia with social distancing. And I'll take your speckled text as well. 0433981116 on the speckled text. Speckled cash loans up to $2,000 paid fast. But Jeff Kennett, the Hawthorn president, part of the coronavirus war cabinet set up by the AFL, has been good enough to give us a few minutes of his time. Welcome to you, Jeff. Great to have you back on the program. Thank you.
Great pleasure, my friend.
How's the state going, Mr. Former Premier?
Well, I think the first test is if you wake up in the morning, it's going pretty well, isn't it? And then you can start picking holes, like drilling into a piece of cheese. But the fact that we wake up, the fact that we've got another 24 hours, that's the most important thing for any of us, Dwayne.
And by comparison, the country's going pretty well too?
Look, we've got a lot of challenges, both here in the state and federally. It's one thing to get involved and shut the country down to combat or contain the virus. The bigger challenge is going to be how we can rejig the economy, because it is going to be profoundly different. Governments are going to have massive debts, which we are all going to have to assume as citizens. We've got huge unemployment. I think a lot of our shops will not reopen, and we've got to get the economy going, my friend. Otherwise, the social ramifications as a result of an economic downturn will be huge. We woke up this morning, therefore all of that remains a challenge.
And what you put in a nutshell for the economy and for the Australian scenario is exactly the same scenario you're looking at for the AFL. You've got our leaders of this country and every state are trying to get the economy going. You're trying to get footy going. So you've got to work out how to do that, because if footy doesn't get going, we're all stuffed.
I think that's right. I think if we were to go into 2021 next year, and we don't have a proper season, I think we'd be in diabolical trouble. We are hopeful that we will play the 16 rounds leading into a final series this year. Even though that won't be perfect, given as we won't have crowds there at least for the first 8 games, hopefully we might be able to see crowds there by the end of the year, it's still better to get the cog moving again. But it's not easy, Dwayne. You have a look at the AFL executive desperately looking at all options. Options get thrown up, options get excluded. You've got states that still insist on locking down their borders. So there's a lot of challenges there, and I think a lot of people don't understand just how hard, and this is unusual for me to say this, but how well and hard and productively the AFL executive has worked.
So you mentioned the first 8 games. You're talking about the first 8-week block. That'll be announced by the AFL, do you think? Or we're talking about a floating fixture where we'll find out what the first round of games might look like when we resume, but beyond that first little round of games, it's floating?
I think we'll get an indication in the next week what the fixture is going to be like. We will probably, after tomorrow's National Cabinet, get an indication as to when the AFL believes we can start training and then playing. I would hope that we'd be back playing by the middle of June at the latest. And then I would imagine the concept of hubs has less weight today than it has before. Although, having said that, if Western Australia or South Australia were to say we are going to keep our borders locked until the end of July, then the AFL are going to probably have to say, well, do we invite the teams in those states to move to New South Wales or Victoria, base themselves there so they can compete until we can go back to a fly-in, fly-out basis, which is the most effective and fairest way of playing the competition. But if the borders get lifted, Dwayne, then fly-in, fly-out, as we've done in the past, I think will become the norm again. But as I said, there's a lot of unknowns still floating around, many of them beyond the control of the AFL, because the AFL have said no start until medical and political sign-off, and then you've got individual states with their own requirements. So there's a lot of balls in the air, my friend.
Mm. So do you think the AFL on Monday will announce what the first bit of the fixture will look like, or will they wait? Because let's face it, you know, it's in the middle of June. We could have a situation where SA have gone 50 days or 7 weeks without a new case, in which case they might be in a situation to be opening up crowds to venues a month, say, before the rest of the country.
Yes, I think you will see, and I don't know, so I don't think because I'm on this little war cabinet I've got any specific information, but I think we'll wait and see what our Premier here in Victoria says on Monday. So a lot will come out of Canberra today and over the weekend. More will come out on Monday, and I think after that the AFL will be in a position to speak with greater authority. And I think South Australia, Stephen Marshall there, the Premier's done a very good job. I don't think South Australia will pose a great problem for the AFL. I think we'll be able to fly in and fly out. It's more the language coming from the Premier of Western Australia at the moment, which might require both Fremantle and the West Coast to decide if they want to participate in the competition, which I think they will, and we want them to participate, then they might have to relocate. And there may be no games in Western Australia. Well, that's a decision that the Premier can make and is entitled to make based on information that he has. But as I say, West Coast and Fremantle might have to decide whether both relocate to Victoria for that period of time or one goes to Sydney and conducts their first few rounds from there. A lot of unknowns.
Tassie, you're pretty keen to still play down there, the Hawthorn Football Club, I understand, in Launceston?
Yes, I am very keen. Because we've got a large membership there, Dwayne. We also have a magnificent surface on the Aurora Stadium, or the Queensland University Stadium now. And I think, I don't think it matters where you live, what state. I think the return of AFL football will be a morale booster for all people who are interested in the AFL, of which there are millions. And so, therefore, I think we owe it as a code, and I think the Premiers owe it to their community to do things that help lift morale when the economy is going to be so tight. Now, you're young enough to remember when I was in office last century. Do you remember that?
I do remember when you were doing a good job.
Right. Do you remember in 1992 when we came to office, we embarked on a very major reform agenda, which was we moved very hard and very fast. We thought we had to do so. But on the other side of that equation, we developed a very active major events program in the arts and sport. We won the Grand Prix. And the Grand Prix signaled to Victorians, even if they didn't like the sport, that once again Victoria could be winners. And I think the AFL and other codes of sport will have the same effect on the community. In other words, once we can start playing our sport again, many Australians will sigh a sigh of relief, believe we're on the right track, and we're starting the rebuilding program. That is why we want to play in Tasmania, because Tasmanians are Australians. They're entitled to that morale boost. I've seen today in the papers some people down there saying, well, if you can't have crowds, there's no point playing. I've got to say, I think that is very short-sighted and very selfish. But, you know, if they don't want football down there, that's fine. But Hawthorn do want to play there. We have a high membership. We contribute a great deal to the state. We have a great, we've been there 20 years now. So we believe we should be, and we've argued with the AFL that we want to play games there this season.
I know it's not your football club and you don't like talking about other clubs, but have North Melbourne got a similar commitment to Hobart?
You'd have to speak to them, and I'm not being trying to be difficult. I can't speak on their behalf, and I don't know what their commitment is, except to say it's not nearly as long as ours. As I said, we've been down there for two games, and then we're up to four games, and then we do our community camp there, and we go down and help the community when there's emergencies, fires, floods, etc. So many of our members, Dwayne, go down there for a game and stay 3 or 4 days. Felicity and I often go down there during the year and we drive around the island. We just love it. It's a magnificent place. And everywhere we go, people are very hospitable. Sport is important to them. Hawthorn's important to them. So we're absolutely committed, but I can't speak for Hawthorn. I can always speak for Collingwood, of course, because they're, you know, we love them dearly, and we've all got an opinion on everything at Collingwood.
Speaking of opinions, Jeff, and you've had opinions and some players have had opinions, there's been some leaders at club level and player level that have been really positive in this time, and some that have been a little negative and sort of tried to probably highlight the negatives, like the Victorian bias and like the we don't want to play scenarios. How have you found the contrast between the positivity and the negativity at club land and player land?
Well, you probably know of me well enough to know that I'm pretty much an optimistic fellow. I don't spend a lot of time worrying about the negatives in life. Life is too short. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. I do think it's been a bit sad that some people have questioned the AFL. And it goes back to what I said earlier, Duane. I don't think people, and that includes the players and the AFLPA and some of the presidents maybe, don't fully understand just how much work has gone into trying to make sure the AFL get through this period. And I, who have often been an open critic of the AFL, and I am still a critic of their administration per se, and I hope that as we come out of this coronavirus issue, that there will be structural change within the AFL itself, within the AFL headquarters, the way they manage their affairs, etc. But having said that, I can't remember when the AFL has communicated as much and as often with their various sectors. I don't remember when I've seen AFL people literally working through the night trying to work out the various permutations to get the game back onto the park. And for anyone to suggest that the AFL are not doing what they are doing in the best interests of the code, and that means all its constituent parts, whether it's the clubs, whether it's the players, whether it's the supporters, is just such a terrible insult. Because the vast majority of our community, yes, they may not be playing football, and yes, we may not be having events, etc., and yes, a lot of people have been stood down, but a lot of people are still receiving salaries when many in the community are receiving nothing. And the AFL leadership has worked its tush off over the last few months to get us back onto the field. So I'm disappointed when I hear the negative comments, because I just think it's people just wanting to be noticed. You know, when they talk about, we talked about hubs at one stage. Hubs are an option. You've got to consider hubs. And then you hear of people saying, oh, we don't want to go, et cetera, et cetera. For goodness sake, fly in, fly out for miners in Western Australia, Queensland. They're away from home week upon week upon week. I mean, so I hope next week we have a start date. People can focus on the positives. We can get back onto the ground. That even though we won't have crowds initially, by the end of the season, I hope we do. But I hope when this phase, and by that I mean this season, is over and we prepare for next season, because I tell you, these issues associated with the administration of our code are going to be around for many, many years to come. There are a lot of clubs that simply do not have the financial capacity to exist without the largesse of the AFL. Right, so we've got a real structural problem or challenge, but I hope when we get through this year, we can then focus on delivering what I've always thought to be the most exciting game of any played in the company, a country. It is an Australian game. I've never been in favour of these junkets overseas, whether they be to America, India, South Africa, China. The code is never going to be an international code. So focus here in Australia on making sure we remain the best and that our individual units, by being clubs, are strong enable all of us to be competitive.
And you mentioned crowds again in that statement. I do reckon the AFL should have a fixture that can move. So if crowds are allowed back, because crowd maximisation has been the number one priority for the AFL for eternity. That's why the majority of games are played at the MCG in the finals. But crowd maximisation, could you shift, if a state does open up for crowds ahead of Victoria, I know you're a Victorian, but would you be happy for games to be moved to that state for a batch of games straight away in that state with crowds ahead of other states like Victoria?
Well, it depends what you mean by crowds. So, for instance, I am very hopeful, let's start at the end of the season, that the grand final, which will be played here in Victoria, will have crowds, but we mightn't have 100,000. We might have 40,000, but 40,000 is better than no crowds. And it may be halfway through the season, Dwayne, that with social distancing, we are going to be able to have people attending some games, depending on how we continue to contain the virus. The difficulty of what you're suggesting is that once the schedule is established and promulgated, then people are going to start preparing, they're going to start booking accommodation, they're going to have to get flights together, et cetera, et cetera. So the flexibility that you're asking for, or suggesting, sorry, yep, I don't think is going to be possible on a week-by-week basis. But if, for instance, Queensland opened up its games to crowds with social distancing, Queensland are going to have a number of games already scheduled up there anyway, and they're going to be an advantage. But I don't know if you're therefore going to see many more games easily transferred from where they've been scheduled for the rest of the season, because it's not easy, the scheduling, as you know. It will be easier in one sense because we're only playing each other once, which I think makes a purer competition, to be quite honest. But even so, if you're suggesting, so today's, what's today, Thursday, on Saturday week, we find out that South Australia are going to allow crowds. Does that mean the game in 8 days' time, 9 days' time, that's currently scheduled for Sydney or Tassie can be transferred? I think that might be just, in these times, a bit difficult. I really do.
Fair call. One player, if one player does the wrong thing, Jeff, is it a danger that it could bring the whole thing down? How concerned are you about that?
What do you mean, do the wrong thing? Goodness gracious, what about presidents doing the wrong thing or journalists? We all do the wrong thing. Do the wrong thing. What are you talking about? Are you talking about
a player not adhering to the biosecurity guidelines and does open themselves up to having the whole AFL system under scrutiny because they didn't have tight enough controls biosecurity-wise, and heaven forbid, but that player gets the virus and all of a sudden might have games that have to shut down or teams that have to shut down.
Well, I think I've now taken that to be two things. One, a player misbehaves or doesn't conform. I think that player is stood down. Again, I don't have any inside information, Dwayne, so you're asking Jeff Kennett. If a player misbehaved or didn't abide by the rules, was not disciplined enough to get his priorities right, then that player should be stood down. Now, whether the player should be stood down for the rest of the season or not, I don't know, but I would imagine there'd be a sort of graduated scale. Secondly, if a player was detected with the virus, again, in my opinion, test, prove positive, he would be stood down. Obviously, he would be isolated, but the competition would go on. Can I just remind you of one thing?
Yep.
I remember when I was a younger man many, many years ago, and we used to talk about unemployment. And we used to say a level of 5% unemployment was fundamentally a reflection of full employment in society, right? There was always going to be some who were unemployed. 5% was the time at which we really had full employment. We now know a lot more about the coronavirus. We are substantially better educated. I suspect until they develop a vaccine, we're going to continue to have individuals and or clusters break out from time to time. But we cannot allow that risk to simply dominate our society to the point where the economy doesn't get going again. And I apply that to football as well. So the officials, the AFL, the health medicos might have a different view, but if one of my players came down with the coronavirus, you'd of course stand him down, isolate him. You would test everyone else very, very regularly within the club, as the AFL are going to do anyway, but that's what I'd do. But I would continue to play in the competition.
You make a lot of sense, Jeff, and quite a few coming through on the text machine saying how much sense you're making. So much sense that even people that aren't involved in Hawthorn would like you to stick around and be part of the Hawthorn Footy Club as president beyond 2020. That's on the agenda now, I hear.
No, not really. I was asked it the other day, and I've been asked to stay on. I haven't given it much thought, Dwayne. My intention was, I never intended to come back in the first place. My intention was to go at the end of the year. That is still my intention. I think it'll depend a little bit, obviously, on my board, what they want. But more importantly, it'll depend on how things settle down within the AFL family over the next few months. I mean, if there are still major challenges there to be addressed and I can be of help, then maybe I would stay. But that is not my preferred position.
And I know we're out of time, but I do want to thank you for what you've done in the mental health space as well with Beyond Blue, because that's an extremely important initiative that you were able to get going years ago, but never more important than now.
Yeah, I think that's right. And with the coronavirus, it's going to have greater impacts. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? I can't remember offhand how many we've lost to deaths in Australia. It's about 70, I think, for coronavirus over the last 3 months. But just we've just got to remember, every day, 8 Australians take their lives by suicide. So you've had, let's assume, 3 months of the coronavirus and 70, 80 have sadly died. But in that period of time, that's 90 days, 9/8, that's over 760 people have lost their lives. And that's before the impact of the coronavirus blame. So I know the virus is terribly important. We've got to do all the right things. But I keep coming back to this issue that we lose more on our roads. We lose so many more to suicide daily, every week, almost 50 people die. So we've got to get the relativities right. And that's why I make the reference to coronavirus and to the unemployment rate. We're always going to have individuals or cluster breakouts. We now know how to deal with them better than we did 3 months ago. But for goodness sake, someone's got to strike the match and get the economy going again.
You're brilliant, Jeff. Always great to talk to you. Thanks again. I really appreciate it.
No, great pleasure. You have a good day.
I will. It's better now because I've spoken to you about it. And I'll speak to you. Take your calls. 1-300-736-736. You've heard from Jeff. Your call's next on Dwayne's World.